Well, today is a good day. As I was singing worship along with all of you at home, I was just leaning in more to what God has for us today. Today is a good day. There are defining moments in history. God's creation of the world certainly was one of them. Adam and Eve's disobedience, Moses and the Ten Commandments, Jesus' birth, his death, and his resurrection. And in more recent years, World War I and II, the invention of motorized vehicles, vaccines, the atomic bomb, some of these things good, bad, and ugly. The Dark Ages, the Enlightenment, the Industrial Age, and now postmodernism. There's moments, defining moments in history that have made a mark on the world and will continue to make a mark for all of the rest of this world. I'm sure that many, maybe even millions of defining moments have happened in the history of our world. Things that have shaped everything that we experience right now and everything that we will experience in the future. We find ourselves in a defining moment right now. Only time will tell just how big of a defining moment this is, but to be sure, this is a defining moment. In some ways, we thought as we entered into this that we were only dealing with one crisis, but it has turned out there seems to be a crisis, almost a new one every month, or at least a new chapter in what has become this ongoing defining moment being revealed day by day. The way we orient ourselves and the decisions that we make right now will have repercussions for many years to come. And so it is fitting for us to take a moment and look at a space in Scripture, a defining moment in Scripture that is similar to the one that we find ourselves in today. At the beginning of this COVID-19 crisis, Pastor Michelle and I sat up here on the stage, and we gave you some mini devotionals, things to give you hope and things to fill you with a sense of understanding of the time that we found ourselves in and kind of how we saw our church's response in this time. I chose to speak about the early church and the beginning of Acts. And now, as we are about to relaunch our church gatherings next week, I would like to take a look at that same passage again in the book of Acts. Here's the background. A group of disciples followed Jesus around for 3 years, and they watched him perform miraculous signs and wonders. They listened to his teachings, they ate together with him, they walked from town to town with Jesus, seeing the good news preached to the poor, blind eyes opened, prisoners set free from demonic torment. Those who were lonely, abused, and downtrodden were given hope and love and peace. The group ranged from, at times, only three, Peter, James, and John, and sometimes there were thousands sitting across the hillside eating a lunch that was provided by a little boy's knapsack. What an extraordinary journey these disciples would have been on with Jesus. And then crisis hit. A defining moment happened. We think that COVID-19 is bad, but if we put ourselves back in the shoes of these early disciples, here's what happened. Jesus was arrested. Jesus was tortured. He was crucified until he died. And then he was buried in a loaned out tomb. It was utterly devastating. And for 3 long days, the disciples sat in mourning. But then 3 days passed, and Jesus rose from the dead, and he met with the disciples again. They were overfilled with joy and excitement about what was happening. Jesus stayed with them for 40 days, and he taught them about the kingdom of God. And then, again, Jesus left the disciples. He went back into heaven to be seated at the right hand of the Father. Talk about a roller coaster couple of months. We know a little bit about what a roller coaster couple of months looks like here, don't we? It feels like in the last 3.5 months, we have been filled with ups and downs, twists and turns, pivot this and pivot that. I feel a little bit turned around myself. But here are these disciples in the beginning of the book of Acts, having gone through a whirlwind of change. Now, if you've read this passage in Scripture before, you know that the disciples are told to wait in Jerusalem until the promised Holy Spirit comes. There is going to be another chapter to this defining moment that's about to take place. And so they wait. 120 disciples meet together for prayer, and after about a week, a sound like a mighty rushing wind fills the room, and tongues of fire settle on each of them, symbolizing the filling of the Holy Spirit. As they're filled with the Holy Spirit, they go out from that place into the streets, and they begin to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. And about 3,000 people are added to their number. So there's 120 people filled with the Holy Spirit going out into the streets of Jerusalem, and 3,000 people respond and become Christians that day. And the early church is born. Again, what an extraordinary defining moment. What an amazing time. All of this, Jesus' crucifixion, his resurrection, his ascension, and now the disciples' Holy Spirit filling and the launch of the early church happened in 50 short days. In just 50 days. Not even 2 whole months. Oh, but this defining moment is not over yet. On to the next chapter. In Acts chapter 4, the apostles Peter and John, as they are going to the temple to worship, they pass a man who is crippled, and they heal him. It's an amazing healing. This man goes from not being able to walk to leaping and dancing. And then the disciple, these two, Peter and John, they use this opportunity to preach the good news to the poor, and they're arrested for that. Then in Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira, they try to lie to Peter about a financial gift that was given to the church, which ends in their deaths, which is a rock'em type of a thing happening for the early church. More of the apostles are thrown into jail after that. There's many that are flogged, and there's many that are persecuted. Ups and downs, internal and external pressure and crisis, another chapter in this defining moment. But through all the twists and turns, I want you to look very particularly about what happens. What is the result for the people of God? In Acts chapter 5, verse 42, we read, "Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ." One thing after another, but through it all, in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. How have you responded during this defining moment in our lives? Take a moment. This is just a good reminder for us. Take a moment and turn to the person next to you and just tell them, through all of this, Jesus is still the Christ. Well, this defining moment for the early church didn't stop there. That wasn't the end of it, as if that would be enough, of course. But let's look at what happens in Acts chapter 6. The church was growing so much that it was getting too big for the apostles to run it all on their own. One of the things the church was doing was taking care of the widows that were in their midst. They were helping to provide food for them and look after them. And listen, look here in Acts chapter 6, verse 1, to see what the problem is. "In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food." You see, the Grecian Jews were the minority within Jerusalem. They were Jewish immigrants from other nations who had returned to Jerusalem and joined the Christian church. While they were Jewish, they spoke a different language, had different customs and traditions, and even potentially looked different because of the intermixing that would have gone on with the nations around them. On the other hand, the Hebraic Jews were from Jerusalem. They made up the majority of the population in Jerusalem and were considered to be more purely Jewish. The Grecian Jews, while still Jewish, were very different from the Hebraic Jews. This predicament, while not directly the same, was very similar to the problem that we're walking through today of racism. The Hebraic Jews, the widows, were being treated differently than the Grecian Jews' widows. Did you know that the early church wrestled with this very similar problem to what we are wrestling with today? Here's how they responded. The apostles appointed 7 men full of the Spirit and wisdom from the church to take on the task of responding to and bringing equality and justice to this situation. And do you know what the result was? Well, let's look in Acts chapter 6, verse 7. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Isn't that amazing? So there's this internal struggle within the church of what appears to be these two groups of people who are being treated very differently. And as the apostles appointed 7 men to take a look at this and to actually put justice to this and to bring equality to this, all of a sudden the word of God spread and the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. That's so amazing. The word of God spread even, and this is, I love that that scripture puts this in there. It doesn't just say that a lot of people came to faith, but it says even a large number of priests became followers to Jesus. Now you've got to pay attention when scripture says something like that. Someone asked me recently, how did the priests miss Jesus? How come when Jesus came, it seemed like he had a great opportunity to speak to the poor. He talked to tax collectors. He talked to fishermen. He talked to all kinds of people. But it seems like the priests didn't know about Jesus, didn't know that he was actually God's son. They were trained in the word of God. They were trained to see and to hear God things. How did they miss Jesus? And I don't really have a really good answer for you about how they missed Jesus. I've kind of asked myself the personal question, are there times when I miss Jesus too? Because I'm so focused on religiosity that I somehow miss Jesus speaking. Maybe that's a question you can ask yourself as well. So I don't really know why the priests missed Jesus. What I do know is that not all of the priests missed Jesus. I find it interesting here that this act of justice and compassion towards the multi-ethnic widows, this display of wisdom and love, moved a large number of priests to follow Jesus. I don't know what that's all about, but I find it interesting. The question that I think it drives for us to ask is, how is God using you in justice, in compassion, in wisdom, and love to reveal his good news to those around you? God used the early church to reveal his love and wisdom to a large number of priests. I think that's really good. Maybe he is also using you. Well, certainly, as we look at the early church, we should be thinking that we must be nearing the end of this defining moment in Scripture, right? Because the church has gone through a lot, and now they're starting to grow, and there's stuff that's starting to take root, and we must be ending this defining moment. Well, just hold on to your hats. Stephen, one of these compassionate and wise widow servers, one of the 7, ends up before the ruling council of religious leaders and priests called the Sanhedrin. Of course, if a large number of priests begin to turn to Jesus, the ruling council is going to start wondering what in the world is going on. So Stephen comes before them to kind of give an account of what's happening here. And he gives them a rousing sermon, which culminates in the good news of Jesus Christ being proclaimed to the ruling religious council, which unfortunately is not well received. In fact, they take Stephen and they stone him, and he dies. Now, this results in the widespread persecution of the Jerusalem Christian church. Look at how Acts puts it in Acts chapter 8, verse 1. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Talk about twists and turns and feeling like you just can't get ahead. The whole church was persecuted, and the whole congregation was scattered. Now, we might not have been persecuted, but we certainly feel a little scattered because of COVID-19, don't we? We feel a little bit apart and away from one another. But look here in Acts. How did the scattered and persecuted church respond? By now, you should be seeing a bit of a pattern. Look here in Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Isn't that amazing? They preached the word wherever they went. God used this defining moment in the early church, a moment when the enemy tried everything he could to bring death and destruction. God used this defining moment for his purposes, to spread the good news of Jesus Christ everywhere his people were scattered. Listen, no moment in all of history is ever wasted by God. No moment in your life has ever been wasted by God. When we bring these things to God, when we bring the moments in our history, when we bring the moments in our life, as rubbish as they look, God wants to use them for his kingdom. God may not have wanted that to happen. God may not have wanted you to be hurt in that way. But when we bring those things to God, he uses them for his good purposes. No moment in all of history is ever wasted by God. Every single defining moment is an opportunity for God to build his kingdom, for the good news to be preached to the poor, for the blind to see, for the prisoners to be set free, and for the oppressed to be released. I remember when Farrell and I were at YWAM 9 years ago, we had a speaker come in and speak about our response to difficult and sometimes devastating situations that have occurred in our life. Many of us are familiar with the passage from John 16:33 that says, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." That's Jesus speaking. And certainly that is a powerful passage, especially as we realize that Jesus is present in our difficulties. That gives us great hope. It gives us great perseverance. But this speaker asked us a question that has become a bit of a continual reminder for Farrell and I in every difficult situation that we face. Here's the question. He just said, if this situation is perfect for anything, what is it perfect for? Whether you're experiencing some wondrous, amazing, great thing, or you're experiencing some devastating and sometimes overwhelming situation, if this situation is perfect for anything, what is it perfect for? About 8 months ago, that's 4 months BC, before COVID, one of the members of our congregation had a word from the Lord for our church. It had to do with 2020 being a year for good soil, a time for planting and reaping a great harvest, but very specifically, a time of really good soil. In the vision that this person had, she talked about how we were to kind of dig our hands in the soil and pick it up and smell it and just see how good and deep and rich it was. Now, I wasn't thinking about this at the time, but in order to have really great soil, you guys that are farmers, you guys know, you have to mix in a lot of compost and manure to get really good, rich soil, don't you? The inclusion of old, rotten vegetation and animal waste makes deeply rich and fertile soil. And my friends, we've been walking through a time of old, rotten vegetation and animal waste. And oh my goodness, the soil is good and rich and fertile. We have to understand the time that we're in right now, the times that we're in right now. This is a defining moment, a pivotal time. The soil is rich. The situation is perfect. Jesus is on the move. Now, church, are you ready? Are you ready? Church, if ever there was a time for us to rise up and share the good news of Jesus Christ everywhere we go, now is the time. We are perfectly situated right now to tell people about the love and the manifest presence of Jesus Christ. Right here, right now. Jesus' love and his presence gives the answer that the world needs, that we need to issues of fear and loneliness and sickness and racial injustice and anger and violence and hunger and pain and poverty. Everything that the world is struggling with right now needs to be answered with the love and the manifest presence of Jesus Christ. Everything. Jesus is here. And you know what? Jesus is here because of you. He's here because of you. That was the secret of the early church. Jesus manifested his love and his presence in his people as they were filled with his Holy Spirit. Jesus' church, his people, were filled with his Holy Spirit. And so whenever any brokenness came their way, something that the enemy wanted to use to destroy them or to break up the rest of the world, whenever that happened, the believers, the church, revealed the love and presence of Jesus everywhere they went because he was in them. And Jesus is in you. So everything that's thrown at you, everything that comes against you that tries to destroy you or bring discouragement, it just all gets broken because of Jesus in you. The answer to everything that is going wrong is Jesus in you. It's Jesus in you. I just find that amazingly encouraging. That you already have everything that you need to display the good news of Jesus Christ to everyone around you because he lives in you. But there's something else happening. There is something that I've been afraid of lately. Listen, I think that Jesus was in this scattering of the church that happened for us 3.5 months ago. Similarly to the way that Jesus was in when the church was persecuted and scattered. I'm not saying that he caused it, but he was in it. And I think Jesus was in the scattering of the church that we experienced 3.5 months ago. I've been hearing about people inviting their non-church friends to their homes to have church together. I've been hearing about the good news of Jesus Christ being revealed to people in these last 3.5 months. Maybe you are one of those people that's tuned in. Or maybe you're sitting with some friends that invited you to church for the very first time. Maybe you are one of those people that in the last 3.5 months has begun to hear more about Jesus and the good news of who he is. I've been seeing the kingdom of God grow in this defining moment. And do you know what I'm afraid of? I'm afraid that when we gather together next week, that we're going to forget and that all that stuff is going to stop. I'm afraid of gathering together because I'm afraid that we're going to circle the wagons and we're going to forget that the world, the people out there, need Jesus. They need Jesus. Now, don't get me wrong. I miss all of you. I miss you a ton. Whenever I see you in town or whenever you come by or we talk on the phone, I miss you, my heart. But if Jesus Christ, then that is just backwards. It's just backwards. It's what we cannot do. So I want you to just join with me for a moment here, okay? So there's going to be a lot of distractions happening for you right now. I know it. This is just one of those things. The dogs are going to bark. The kids are going to yell. The coffee maker is going to go off. Your phone's going to chime in. But just ignore all those distractions right now and just listen to this one thing right here. Can we together press in and say that we are going to use this defining moment, the regathering of the church, not as a moment to step back, but as another one of the chapters in this defining moment to push forward even more so that we can declare forward to see Jesus Christ proclaimed and declared in this world. That the gathering together, any of these moments, let's not waste them either. And before we gather next week, would you do one more thing with me? Would you ask Jesus, what do you want? But in each of these of Jesus, how is Jesus using you to proclaim the good news? Let's pray. Jesus, we are so thankful for your presence. We would not have made it this far without your presence. We are so thankful for you. And now, Lord, as we move into being the church regathered, may your kingdom come even more. May your will be done even more. May you, Jesus Christ, be put on display even more through your church. We love you, Jesus. We thank you. We pray these things in your powerful name. Amen.